this evening. I do love this youth conference, and it is a blessing to be here once again in a different location. I was just thinking, this is amazing. My wife and I can testify. We've preached in this youth conference so many times, and we've preached it in three different locations. We preached it when it was in Danville, Kentucky. We preached it in Owensboro, Kentucky, and now here in Evansville, Indiana. And what I love about this conference is no matter where it goes, the same spirit seems to always go with it. And so I praise the Lord for that. How many are going to hear me for the first time preaching tonight? First time? Okay, there's a few of you. Okay, so I do want to take a little time to introduce myself to you. For those of you who are probably wondering why I was doing sign language, the main reason I don't sing with them is because I can't sing. All right? They tried to get me to sing with them. They tried to teach me harmony, but I didn't even know who Melody is yet. I heard she's a nice girl, so it's that bad. I mean, I just don't sing. But the reason I sign also is my mother and father are deaf. I had deaf grandparents, deaf great-grandparents. I have a deaf sister and now a deaf niece. And so we have five generations of deafness in my family growing up. And we even had a deaf dog growing up. So we had so much deafness. And that dog actually knew more sign language than Dean Miller did, I promise you that. And so anyway, but it was a privilege to grow up in a deaf home. And so that's why I'm fluent in sign language. And then, of course, I got saved at 18. And I went to Bible college, met my wife, and then started pastoring. And so as soon as we started pastoring, immediately we started a deaf ministry. And so we're very active there with the deaf ministry there. So there's another thing I really want to point out about this conference that I love tonight is seeing the family that's been serving all these years, the Russ family. I so appreciate the Russ family. I've known Brother Stephen Russ since he was a little boy. I'm serious. I mean, he and Jared and Andrew were like young boys. And Jared especially, man, you didn't mess with his hair when he's a little boy, man. I mean, I'd mess his hair, Brother Dean. He'd come charge him. I'd just hold his head back. He's swinging, just swinging, swinging on. He'd just hold his head back. But just to see them grow up and the fine young men they are now, Pastor Stephen Russ, and what a blessing. What a testimony that is. God is so good. I appreciate that so much. Some of you have been asking. My book is here with me. I wrote a book about what it was like growing up in a deaf home and about the Lord. So every chapter does two things I think the Bible tells us to do, honor our parents and honor our Savior. And my daughter Clara will be our salesperson tonight. Go ahead and stand up, Clara. She'll have them here in the front. Brother Russ said I can mention it. And they're $12 a book. And if you'll see her after church, she'll take care of you and get you a book. And so praise the Lord for that. It's great to be here. And always good to be my friend, Brother Dean Miller. Looking forward to hearing him preach. Always does a great job on a series. And I'm looking forward to hearing him preach tonight. It'll be great. God is good. All right. Let's take our Bibles tonight. Turn to Ezekiel 22. And always good to see friends in the ministry. Some of you faithful friends I've known for a long time. I'm afraid to start naming names because I'll forget somebody, but you know who you are. Sure love and appreciate all my friends here. But mostly tonight, I'm so glad our church is here this year. Bible Baptist Church. And our new associate youth pastor, Brother Brian Bussey, is back there with his wife, Miss Cindy. And then we got three other adults from our church. Well, two other adults, Ashley and Heather. Thad is not an adult at all, but he's here with them too. And I love my church very much. They've actually never been to this conference, so we're so glad it worked out for them to come this year. Brother Russ, what an amazing facility. Man, God's been good. Wow, what a God. God is so good to us. Praise the Lord for that. I love this theme. I really do. It's kind of an outdoors theme. And, you know, a lot of you teenagers hear that you need to get outside more, right? How many of you have heard preachers say, come on, we're so this video game generation? Well, let me just say this, too. While you're outside, learn how to play tic-tac-toe. Come on, man. Wow, that team should not have won one time, but they won two in a row because some of us need to learn how to play tic-tac-toe. Come on, help me now. You can play it in the dirt, amen, Brother Miller? You can play tic-tac-toe in the dirt. You can play tic-tac-toe in cow manure. Come on, help me now. I mean, the dirt, the land, you can just play tic-tac-toe anywhere you want to, amen? So that was great. Praise the Lord for that. All right, let's go to Ezekiel 22. Let's stand together and stretch our legs one more time and look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here too. And look at either one of them and say, I'm glad I don't smell like you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. All right, sure love and appreciate y'all. Looking forward to the events and the activities tonight. Thank you again, Brother Russ, Russ family, church here, the church members. Thank you so much. I know what it's like. We have a youth conference in April. It's April 16th through 17th. Brother Abdel Judas preaching for us. And I know we can't do it without our church members. So church members, thank you so much for the work you do. We appreciate that so much. Look at Ezekiel 22. Let's begin reading tonight in verse number 24. The Bible says this, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. Look at verse 26. Her priests have violated my law. Verse 27, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves. Verse 28, and her prophets show up again. And then verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression. And then in verse 30, you see a very powerful, familiar verse we hear a lot. People have preached on it through the years, and it's a powerful message, a powerful verse. Let's look at this tonight. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. You may be seated. Father, help us tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts individually. Thank you for this church, Brother Russ, the leadership here. Thank you for Brother Miller's about to come. Bless him and anoint him and help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this theme. Brother Miller and I were teasing about who's going to jump on that bear's back first, and I decided we'll let him do it because I'm afraid he won't hurt the bear as much as I will. But I shop in the men's section. He shops in the boys' section still, so just got to say that there right there. So don't worry. I know he's got the mic last, and he'll get me. That's okay. It's all fun. It's all good. I love Brother Miller. Appreciate him so much. Jeff Bezos stepped down as the CEO of Amazon this week. And Jeff Bezos is the wealthiest man on the planet. I guess he got passed by Elon Musk, and they go back and forth depending on the stock market. And Jeff Bezos started it. I listened to a podcast a while back that talked about how he started up his company and where he took Amazon, how he originally wanted to name it thenile.com, and finally worked it out that he named it the Amazon. And Amazon is now a company that the whole world knows about. We're familiar with it. There's hardly anybody on this planet that does not know about Amazon. And I think about how many times Jeff Bezos could show up at any one of his offices or any one of the buildings across this country and even globally. And I guarantee every time he showed up through the years of Amazon that he would be treated with royalty, like royalty, and they would roll out the red carpet because the founder, the CEO, is here. And if they had board meetings, he would sit at the head of the table, and no doubt they would listen to what he had to say. Because Amazon belonged to Jeff Bezos. It was his baby. It was his passion. He mothered it. He started it. He built it from nothing to what it is today. You think about many companies and corporations like that down through the years, and then you look at the nation of Israel, and you think about how God started Israel. God was the father of this incredible nation, and he started it, and he went out of the way to get this country going, and thousands of years later, Israel is still here in existence. But boy, if you know anything about history, boy, she has had a rough ride. Ups and downs, and they were disbanded and scattered abroad. They've been under captivity so many times, and all boils down to one simple thing. They just would not listen to their God. To their God. You see, we live in a very unique time in American history because right now, when our country needs God the most, we're not asking him for his help. You see, I know my limitations. For example, how many of you like to go fishing in this building? Would you raise your hand if you like to go fishing? I'm not a big fisherman. I love the water, but I'm not a big fisherman. So if you come up and ask me questions about fishing tonight, I will probably say to you, go see Brian Bussey, my associate pastor. He's amazing. The guy knows everything about hooks and fish and boats. And I mean, he has like four boats at his house. I mean, three of them work. I mean, one of them works, but he has four boats. But anyway, I mean, he loves fishing. If you want to know something about music and so on, Stephen Russ, well, he knows music, made many CDs. He's born and raised in Faith Music Missions, and he's just an expert in that area. I don't know much about fishing. I don't know much about music. And if you come and ask me about the deaf culture, I'll be glad to talk to you about it. Or football. Come on now. Who's for the Chiefs this weekend? All right, who's for the Chiefs? Who's for the Buccaneers? All right, a lot of there. Who doesn't care? All right, okay. Very good. I like that. There's hope for America, amen. And if you want someone that's an expert in hair products, Dean Miller is your guy. I mean, he's amazing, just phenomenal at hair products and things like that. And he'll be glad to guide you on what the best hair products to have, because he does have cool hair, right? Last May 27th, my family and I were in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina on a family vacation / Rana's senior year. The one that's playing the piano, she graduated. And so not a lot of things were still open at the time, but Myrtle Beach had come open. And so we headed down there and had a vacation, and we spent some time in the water, spent a lot of time as a family, and just enjoyed our time there before we got busy on the road all summer in our camps and conferences. And every day was a beautiful day except for one day. One day was storming real bad outside. I mean, they had those black flags up, which means don't get in the water at all. But I love the salt water, so I had to get in, and I went down there, and my family was staying on the 20th floor of a 22-story building overlooking the ocean there, and my kids even have funny video of it. And I was down there, rain pouring down, wind blowing everywhere, waves coming in hard, and I was out in that water swimming around, and all of a sudden I realized how small I was. And I was out in that water just getting whipped around, and I mean, I'm pretty big and somewhat strong, and I was trying to fight the waves, and I looked back to the shore, and it was real cloudy, but I could see all these massive buildings. You know, there was, how many have been in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina before? Myrtle Beach has got tons of condos or hotels, resorts, all up and down that coast. And I mean, 20-plus stories buildings high, and just all across that coast. And I was beginning to pray, and I was asking God to help me. Give me something that I can preach this summer, or something that could be my theme for this summer as I was traveling and preaching. And I, God, give me something. And I've learned this. A lot of times when I ask God for help for other people, he starts with me first. And it was at that moment God said, Randy, as you look at all these buildings with all these tourists that are here right now, I just want to know one thing. Does anybody care what I think anymore? Does anybody care what I think? You see, if you are going to be placed in the woods for 30 or 45 days and have no cell phone reception, have none of the comforts, you better find out who is a good survivalist, and you better pick their brain, and you better find out what kind of tools they use and how they make food and how they find food and how they make fires. We saw that skit a while ago. They always do a great job with the skits. But you better find out somebody that's an expert. May I say to you tonight, God's a pretty good expert about life. God's a pretty good expert about church. God's a very good expert about nation building. In fact, our country has been so blessed up to this point because there was a time when, as a whole, our country cared what God thought. So on this particular night tonight, I have a question for you tonight. It's simply this. Who cares what God thinks? Now, there's an interesting thing about that question, because if I were to take out a piece of paper tonight and write it down and have you read it, you could actually read it one of two ways. Who cares what God thinks? Question marks. You could say it like this. Who cares what God thinks? Or you could say, who cares what God thinks? I'll even show you in sign language. Watch the two differences in those. You can ask it one of two ways. Sadly, Brother Miller, our country was built on the latter. Who cares what God thinks? Today we're saying, who cares what God thinks? Because throughout this whole COVID experience, I wonder how many governors have actually really asked what God thinks about things. During this last election, how many Americans asked God how to vote, whether it's state or local or federal? I wonder how many Americans are actually interested in what God thinks about things. What does God think about marriage? What does God think about the family or the home? What does God think about sin? He still has some opinions on sin, right? And what does God think about holiness? What does God think about all these things? And Israel is at a point in their nation's history when in just a little while, God's going to cut them off and they're going to hear nothing from God for 400 years. He goes completely silent. And I believe the reason he did is because God finally said, you know what? If you guys have it figured out, if you guys know what you're doing, then I'll just leave you alone. And I'll end very positive, so stay with me now. God is a gentleman. He doesn't make you do anything. He'll never force you to get saved. He won't force you to go to church. He didn't force you to come to this conference. He's a gentleman. He'll make suggestions. He'll give you ideas. He wants you to tap into his wisdom and his power and his instruction. But if we don't, he won't force it upon you. And I fear America is on the same stage right now that we see here in Ezekiel chapter 22, because as you look at this chapter, there's four groups of people that God mentions. He mentions the prophets, he mentions the priests, he mentions the princes, and he mentions the people. In fact, the priests and the prophets to me represent the preachers or the leadership, the spiritual leadership of our country. We have Christian radio programs all over this country. You can still buy a Bible for $1 at the dollar store. You can still find preaching on the radio and television all over this country. There's still churches everywhere, but our country has now killed almost 60 million babies. The politicians, princes, right? Oh, they're going to fix all the problems, are they? We see how that's worked out. Our politicians make empty promises all the time. And I'm not saying all the preachers like that and all the politicians are like that, but you know what I mean, young people. Hey, sometimes older preachers and older men that are 45 years old now start to wonder and worry about your next generation. But stay with me now. It's going to get good. And then finally, the third group are the people of the land. But you know what I noticed? Nothing here says anything about teenagers or young people. You know what that means? While the princes and the prophets and the priests and the people aren't caring what God thinks, while they are become corrupt, while they have embraced sin and wickedness, hey, maybe, just maybe, there's a generation of young people that'll say, you know what, I do care what God thinks. I do care what God thinks. In fact, I can publicly, honestly testify this today. Since May 27th, Brother Andrews, every single morning since May 27th, 2020, I put a little thing in my notes where I meditate every day. And every single morning, including this morning today, I ask the question, who cares what God thinks? And I raise my hand every morning and look to heaven and say, God, I want to care what you think. And may there be a generation of young men and young ladies that will care what God thinks. You want a revival, God? You aren't going to get it from the princes. You aren't going to get it from the people. You won't even get it from any priests or prophets. But there's a God in heaven who says, I've got a revival, God, for you. There's a survival, God, for you. Young people, you can make it. Young people, there's still hope for this country. There's still hope for your youth group. There's still hope for America. Hey, 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 somebody's got to care what God thinks today. Somebody's got to care what God thinks. Four simple areas today I'm going to ask you. If we can find out what God thinks about them, I'll be done. We'll get out of the way for Brother Miller. Look at number one. God wants to know who cares about the situation of our land. Who cares about the situation of our land? Look at there in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 24. Again, the Bible says this. Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is what? Not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy over prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. And you can continue to read on down there, and you'll find out that God is very disappointed in the situation of the land. The situation of the land is not cleansed. Young people, America is not cleansed today. America has become a very dirty nation. America has become a nation that does not fear God anymore. But I've got news for you. There's still some young people that do fear God. There's still some couples out there that do love God. Hey, no matter what happens in this society, there's always going to be a remnant. Hey, are you a part of that remnant today? Do you care about the situation of our land? You see, we've become a very selfish generation. It's all about selfies, iPhones, iPads, me, myself, and I. I mean, we're so soft nowadays. We're so easily offended. How in the world have we even made it during World War II or the Revolutionary War or the Great Depression? Can I tell you something? God's still on his throne. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's still hope for America tonight. Who cares what God thinks about the situation of the land? Number two, who cares what God thinks about salvation? Oh, yeah, look at verse 25. The Bible says there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravaging the prey. Look at this. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. But the Bible says there, they have devoured souls. Devoured souls. I'm a product of that. Because my parents were deaf of us, as I told you already. They didn't have, not many churches have deaf ministries. And I was born in 1975, August 28, 1975. Write that down, send me a card. Birthday card with something in it. Blank cards are of the devil. Help me now, come on. If something doesn't fall out of that card, don't send me a card, amen. But August 28, 1975, I was born physically in this world, and that's what Americans did in the 80s and 90s, Brother Andrews. Remember that? We went to church. My parents knew we had to be in church at least every Sunday morning, but you know what? Not many churches had deaf ministry. So I was sprinkled as a baby. Baptized three different times growing up. I went to Holy Ghost crusades and got the Holy Ghost. I had an experience there that scared me so much, I was afraid of the Holy Ghost for a long time. I mean, I was searching religion. I was a successful football player. I was a two-time state champ, an all-state, all-star, not far from here, Danville, Kentucky. I was recruited by some Division I schools to play college football. But in my heart of hearts, I was empty. I did not know what this was all about. And as a lost 16-year-old public school boy, I never went to Christian school, never sat in a conference like this. As a 16-year-old teenage boy, I got by my bedside one night and said, God, there's got to be more to life than this. By the way, that's a real sinner's prayer right there. And 2 years later, God heard my prayer, and God came to where I was, and God saved my soul. I put my faith in him and repented, and I found out that Jesus Christ will save anybody. Thank God. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. I got born again. I got saved at 18 years old. Thank God for salvation. Hey, do you know you're saved today? You know for sure that you've been saved? And while I'm on that, can I just ask a question? Somebody help me with this. Why have the Baptists lost their shout about it? Why aren't we excited about being saved anymore? Why are we almost embarrassed to get excited in church? I mean, why are we not excited about the fact that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has saved our soul? When my son Grant, who just sang up there, turned 13, I took him to an NBA game to surprise him when we used to watch the NBA. And it was OKC playing the Golden State Warriors. And Grant loved Russell Westbrook. And they're going to play the Warriors. Stephanie Curry did not play. She was hurt again that night. Where's my Stephanie Curry fan? Hey, you better not be a fan of him. You better get right with God, that little sissy boy. But anyway, just kidding. Stephanie Curry was hurt. Kevin Durant played. And I even surprised my son at halftime. They put happy 13th birthday Grant up on the Jumbotron. And we were having a good time. And at the start of the game, two grandmas came and stood right in front of us. We're talking about ladies that, I'm not going to say they were old, because I'm 45 now, it doesn't sound as old anymore, but they were older than me. They looked like grandmas. And they sat right in front of us. And boy, when big plays would happen, those grandmas would jump up and, ooh, they'd dance. Ooh, cheering, going excited. I mean, literally, that's my son. They were like dancing. Grandmas, 70-plus-year-old grandmas. Ooh, just shake. I mean, shaking it up, man. They're fired up. But me and my son are Baptists now. Come on. We ain't allowed to get excited about nothing. So my son one time and I were watching, and Russell Westbrook drove the paint and dunked the ball. Place went nuts, and I looked at my son. He said, Father. I said, yes, son. Father, dost thou think that was a nice shot? I said, well, yes, son, I thought that was a very nice shot by Russell Westbrook. Father, dost thou think we shall celebrate? Yes, we shall celebrate. Okay, pinkies up. Yay. Is that what we did? Is that what we did? Oh, no, sir. No, ma'am. We got excited. We jumped up and down. We cheered. The game went into overtime or double overtime. We had a good time that night celebrating his birthday. But listen to me. Why would I get more excited over some NBA players who don't even know my name when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords... When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords... Hey, he knows my name. He saved my soul. I'm never going to touch hell. I'm a child of the King. I'm going to heaven someday. Hey, my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody get excited about being saved again. The average Baptist church has become like a funeral home or a dentist's office. Nobody's happy at a dentist's office. You walk in there and look at all the people that look depressed. You know why? Because they finna sit in there. People put on rubber gloves, put their hands in your mouth, and then try to talk to you. How you doing, Pastor? Really, that's good. How did you understand me? Right? I do a test sometimes. I walk into the dentist, I'll say, hey, y'all, what's up? No, what's wrong with it? Somebody needs to commit that, man. Somebody help me now. You go to the average Baptist church, sometimes I get nervous. I'll be preaching, and I'll be looking about 20 minutes. That man ain't moved. But, hey, Pastor, you better call 911. I think he did. Oh, never mind. He just moved. Thank God he's still alive. Come on now. Come on now. Hey, you're only saved. You're only going to go to heaven someday forever. All your sins have been forgiven. Hey, God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. Holy Ghost is your Comforter. Bible is your book. Heaven is your home. And bless God, the rapture is your hope. Somebody ought to get a little happy sometimes. I know not everybody's going to do cartwheels and stuff. I get that. But everybody's got a happy button. Somewhere. God, everybody's born with a happy button. Mine's right here. Hold on. There it is right there. Everybody got one. Wow, some girl went, wow, really? I didn't know we had one. Stay with me now. Who cares what God thinks? Situation, salvation. Number three, here's a dirty word everybody gets nervous about. Here we go. Who cares what God thinks about separation? I ain't scared to preach this. It's in the book. Look what the Bible says in Ezekiel 22. Verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine what? And have put no difference between the what? Oh, my. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Watch this. Stay with me now. Just because we're separated Christians does not mean we have to have a bad spirit about it. We don't have to be ugly and mean to people. But do you understand the first thing God did in the book of Genesis chapter 1 was separate the light from darkness? When I first got saved, I was stunned that the first words of God were something as simple and boring, in my opinion back then, as let there be light. I mean, as a brand new Christian, God speaks for the first time in the Bible. What does he say, man? It's got to be something so powerful and so dramatic. Come on, what does he say? Let there be light. What? That's it? And then as I grew and learned, that's one of the most beautiful statements in the Bible. Because God was saying, because of light, there's clarity now. You can see better in the light. You understand better in the light. You live better in the light. Y'all know what I'm talking about, man. If you travel as much as me and Brother Miller do, there's many times I've woke up in the middle of the night and not tried to have to remember where I'm at. Am I at home? No. Where am I? Am I in Indian Creek? No. Where am I? Is my wife with me on the street? Yeah, she's right there. I got to find the bathroom. Is it this way or that way? I mean, seriously. And then sometimes I'm like, I am home. My bed, my toilet, yeah. No, you get excited about simple things like that, especially in the summertime, man. But you know why you got to make sure you know where you're at? Because when it's dark, you might bump into something or step on something that ain't good. Thanksgiving morning at my family's house, at my own house, our dog got sick. And I got up early in the morning on Thanksgiving Day. Oh, God, it's going to be a good day. It was still dark outside. My wife's in the bedroom. I close the door. I walk out to my family room in our basement. I was so excited. I mean, God, it's going to be a good day. I want to spend some time thanking you. And slip and slide, amen. All of a sudden, I wasn't thankful. But kill that dog. Where's he at? And then I did the famous husband thing. Hey, babe, I'm sorry. I hate to bother you, but where's the cleaning supplies at? And then she got out and cleaned it. I really wanted to help, but she cleaned it up by herself, and I felt kind of bad for her, man. What are you saying, Brother Andy? I'm saying, hey, light brings clarity. Watch this. Light is also greater than darkness. Darkness has never defeated. Light is always undefeated against darkness. You know that? So God wants separation. Young people, right now, I'm on the gram, Instagram. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. I promise. I don't promise to see all your posts, but I got Facebook. I got Twitter. I got all that stuff. Don't miss me now. Don't miss this now. Watch this. What does God think about what you're posting on there? What does God think of your direct messages? What does God think of the music you're listening to? What does God think about the games you're playing? Look, who cares what I think? I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you today what's right or wrong. I just want you to ask what God thinks. Young ladies, what does God think about the way you dress? Just ask God. Don't care about me. My opinion doesn't matter. Ask him what he thinks. Oh, he's on the ladies now. No, young man, how about you too? Have you asked God what he thinks about the way you dress? Or how you look out in public. I mean, just little simple things like that. God still wants us to be different. And can I tell you the most important thing when it comes to separation is Christians today should have the best countenance of all. I mean, the separation that separates us from the world is that we have the creator of the universe inside of us. And boy, I thank God. And many times we judge the external. Can I tell you something? What's more important is the internal. If you've got the Holy Ghost inside, you ought to have a countenance of joy, a countenance of excitement, a countenance of anticipation, a countenance where the world looks at you and says, something different about you. Why? Because God has been so good to me. Who cares what God thinks? Who cares what God thinks? Or man, buddy, who cares what God thinks? Number four, and I'm done. Number one, who cares about the situational end? Number two, who cares about the salvation? By the way, if you're not saved tonight, please get that settled. Number three, who cares about separation? Number four, and I'm done. Who cares enough to stand? Who cares enough to stand? If you're going to survive in the wilderness, you're going to have to get up and move and stand and collect things and kill things and eat things. And can I tell you something? The church today has been sitting down too long. We're comfortable. I heard a quote that says, the average church has become a museum for saints instead of a hospital for sinners. Can I tell you something right now? We need some people to stand. But here's the thing about this verse that really jumped out and changed my life this summer. Look at Ezekiel 22, verse 30, one more time, and I'll be done. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand up in the gap. Stand in the gap. What are the next two words? Say it again. Say it again. Before me. And then it says this. For the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. If this wall represents God and the holiness and glory of God, I think too many Christians today think that this verse says we have to go out into the world and stand for him. But what happens is we have our back to him and we get beat up, we get kicked around, we get burned out, we get discouraged, and then we quit. The Bible actually says to stand before him. When you stand before God and you see how holy he is and how righteous he is and how powerful he is, all of a sudden you realize that I am just like the rest of the world. I am a sinner just like them. I relate to this lost world a whole lot more than I relate to a holy, righteous God. The difference between me and him is so vast and so great versus the difference between me and the sinners of this land. Can I tell you something today? It's humbling when you stand before God, because when you stand before God, you realize he is right. He is holy. He is righteous. He is always, always, always desiring what's best for us. And we need some young people today that will say, I will stand before God. I want to care what God thinks. I want to care what he thinks about everything in life. And that book right there has all the answers in there. Young people today, we desperately need a revival guide to life. Desperately. And a revival guide to life is not found in some conference, some booklet, some book written by a man. It's simply found when anybody, man, woman, teenager, young boy or girl, just goes to God and says, God, I want to care what you think. So today I'm looking for somebody who won't say, who cares what God thinks? Who cares? But rather say, who cares what God thinks? I do. I do. I care. I care what he thinks. God, I want to care what you think. America needs some Christians that'll care what he thinks. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. We're ahead of schedule, so I'm going to give a brief invitation today. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just simply ask this question tonight. First of all, do you know for sure you're going to heaven someday? And let me just say this real quickly. I'm always burdened about salvation. I won't be long. But the problem with many people not getting saved is they still worry about what somebody else thinks, including your own